Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So what I'm going to share tonight is on that we have to have right speaking. Amen. If we can't speak right, we can't live right, because we have to speak. We have to do what the word says. We have to speak out what the word says over our lives. And, you know, it was intriguing. I knew a fella I worked with. He was a Christian guy, and we worked together. And I was talking to him one time, and he was Russian. And he came over, and he met his wife, his wife in Russia. She was a daughter of missionaries. So I asked him. I was like, Ivan, I said, do you guys speak Russian at home? Because he has a thick Russian accent. And he's like, no. He goes, I said, you don't speak with the kids? No. I said, why not? He goes, my wife doesn't speak Russian. I'm like, but you said, like, you met her in Russia. Yep, she grew up in Russia. He said, but where she lived was about 20 minutes away from the Chinese border in this town. He goes, everything on the west of it was hours away. He goes, my wife, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Russian woman, speaks Mandarin Chinese. I'm like, really? I thought he was kidding. He goes, no. He goes, she speaks Mandarin Chinese because that's the culture that influenced her, was the TV, all their shopping, because two communist countries, they go across the border like us, easier than us going into the States, you know. And so he goes, even though she was born Russian, he goes, she's influenced by Chinese culture. And I said, isn't that like us, like me? I'm born again, but I still have to be careful I'm not influenced by the world. Because even though I'm born again, we got to be careful that we're not influenced and speaking the wrong language. We got to speak the language of our birth. Amen? So I'm just going to look. This is not in the notes. I apologize. This is something that I was thinking about during worship. Can you turn to Joshua 10 for a second? Joshua 10. Hallelujah. Joshua 10, verse 3. It says, wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, unto Param, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debar, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me that we may attack Gibeon. I'm not going to go to the rest of the story. The important part, go back to the verse, was these are the five kings that were attacking the Israelites. This is when Moses had his hands up, and they're fighting, and the sun stood still, and he defeated them. I just want to look very quickly at something before I get into my points, because it's really exciting that Adonai Zedek is, when you think about it, sounds like king of righteousness. It's actually, the root is a false Mechezeldek. It's a false righteousness. That's the king that he's defeating, is a false righteousness. Hoham is uncertainty. He was the king of Hebron, which we know means covenant. So one of the other kings he had to defeat was he was uncertain in the covenant that he had. Starting to sound familiar? This sounds like me when I first got saved. I had a false righteousness. Look what I can do. Whew. Ha! Do I need God? Then I got saved. Now I'm a covenant child. People told me, you're a covenant child. But I was uncertain in my covenant. I didn't know what I had. I do now. I didn't then. Piram means running wild. Like sowing your wild oats. It means confusion. Because sometimes we'll say things and we're confused in what we say. Like Pastor said when he was receiving the offering, we can say he's our provider, but what about the economy? He's our provider, but what about this? And that's because there's a confusion. Sometimes we're like I said, it's confusion or running wild. Sometimes we say more than we should, until we get the word in our hearts, amen? And then Japhia means it's to mourn or to be remorseful. I can never have that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Like Pastor said, when he first started being pastor, they said to him, you, a pastor? I'm glad you went through with a pastor, because I'm here because of him, and I think it's amazing. But sometimes we have the same thing. I shared with the Bible college on the orientation night. I'm excited that I get to mentor with guys at Adult and Teen Challenge, get to counsel. I get to teach at Bible College, teach some lessons and stuff like that. And you know, if you would have told me that 30 years ago, I hardly just graduated high school. But there's a word inside, amen? It doesn't matter what I say it about myself. It matters what the word says. And we have to let that mature, amen? Then the last one is debar. And it means, it's a gift of words to build a shrine. And it's the fact that we have to make sure we're building not a shrine to those that we have, or like Paul said, put the past behind you. We have to build what the word says inside of us, amen? So I just, like I said, during worship, this came to me because these are one of those things that I like sticky notes. It's been in there for about 15 years, and I read through it once in a while. You know, if you have a Bible, and I tell people, if you have a Bible, you can't write in, throw it away, and get one you can. Make sure, that's why I do at work, I do the phone thing now because I copy and paste and copy and paste. But I don't like it because I'm old school. I like to write in my Bible. I like my concordance out and read and stuff like that. We finally got Kindle, and I'm not sure about that because I still can't highlight. Like Pastor Steve said, it's expensive. You start highlighting into your phone. Oh, you know. And so I'm just kind of old school, so I like to still write. But I'm going to look at Luke 8:18. Just says, take heed to what you hear. To him shall be given. We got to be careful how we hear things. We got to be careful what we're putting into ourselves. Amen? We have to realize that. Do you want the culture of the world into you, or do you want what the word says into you? Because that's what we're going to speak out. If your heart is full and you're at a place where you've been watching the wrong TV and you've been watching, you know, stuff, don't get me wrong, I watch TV, but I get to the point that I'm starting to realize I'm losing it, getting mad at my wife because she does a little thing. Okay, then maybe I'm watching the wrong television. Really, you know, you can tell. Especially like Pastor said about this time. You know, we had our isolation there last year for a month in the house. And when you're an extrovert, being stuck inside and your wife says you can't go anywhere because all the stores are closed, it's like, oh. If you're one of those, get a dog. At least you can walk around the block, you know. But you'll find that you will start. If I find that I'm starting to get snippy at her, then it's like, okay, what am I feeding myself? Right? Because they say you always get, you know, nasty towards the ones you love. You're like, how can you be nice to the person, you know, the neighbor next door, but you're mad at your wife? Because, well, I let my, you know, because you let your guard down. No. It's because you know that she'll forgive you because she's also saved. No. It's the fact that we have to be careful. If you find that you're starting to get, you got to be careful. Well, I know I do. I got to be careful what I'm putting in. And it comes out towards her and vice versa. You know, she gets up the end of the day and she's like, oh, I was grumbly today. I'm like, yeah, I know, but, you know, God will deal with you. I don't have to tell you what you're doing wrong. God will deal with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But that's why it's so awesome to have a praying wife. Amen. I'm going to turn to Numbers 13:32 for a second. Because it's very, 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 very important what we say. Very important. Numbers 13:32 says, and they brought up an evil report or an unbelieving report, or a wrong report, of the land which they had searched, the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search it, it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come out of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So they're looking at these big men, and they're saying, In their sight, we are grasshoppers. Then he says, so we were in our own sight. You start listening to the world, and you start listening to certain things, and you start not taking that thought captive. You'll start to even think to yourself, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that. And we have to be so careful as believers, realizing that what the word says is what the word says. We have to believe the word in the simplicity of what it says, amen? You know, I've shared, I think it was last year, a couple years ago, that I had gone for one of those things, they, you know, put down your throat and all that stuff there. And the doctor said to me, do you have any problem eating bread? And I remember I said to him, you know, do I look like I've had problem eating bread? This is a spelt 250 pounds, my friend. You know, but, and so he goes, well, and he said to me, he goes, well, you have, you know, his report. Like I said, I'm not against doctors. He's like, we have celiac disease, so you got to be careful what you eat. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he said, so then I still try to watch what I eat because my wife tries to cook healthy, but I still eat, what do you call it, like regular bread and all that stuff there. So he made an appointment because it's been 2 years. And he says, and that's what why I couldn't, because, you know, help pastor last Tuesday was because I said, says I'm going to be legally intoxicated, is what it says, inebriated for 24 hours. And the pastor said, about coming to share, and it's an important point. And I thought I was like, and it wasn't that bad, but I couldn't have driven here because I'd be legally intoxicated. So I went for this thing, and then the guy, as the doctor says, we'll do whatever we got to do, and there's some pull-ups or whatever they saw last time, and we'll cut them off or whatever we have to do. And I'm like, okay, But I remember last year I said, sometimes we don't know what our giant is until the doctor says it, tells us. And that's what it was. I was like, oh, okay, this is what he says I have. Now I know what to believe for. Simple. Now I know what to believe for. Thank you, Lord. That my body is whole and healthy. My body, Lord, I can eat whatever I want because, I like bread and pancakes and all that stuff with whatever it is we're not supposed to have when you have that kind of thing. So anyway, he went for this report. And then as he's doing it, he says, we will do anything, and if you need to, you can come back to the office and we'll deal with it. I'm like, okay, well, I got a letter. It says, can't find nothing wrong, no polyps, nothing like that. See you in, however maybe 5 years they want to do it because it's in your record. And I'm like, they couldn't find nothing wrong. Said the Catholic. So they couldn't find nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Because I didn't go around saying, I can't eat bread. I can't eat the cereal that I want. I can't do this. I said, I'm going to eat what I want because my body has to line up with the Word of God. Amen? That's just a testimony that we get what we say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We study healing scriptures even when we're not feeling, yes, even when we're well, even when we're not feeling sick. I study prosperity scriptures when I'm working overtime and got money in the bank. Because the problem's going to be, don't get squeezed when there's a problem and then you don't know what comes out. When a Christian, it's like an olive gets squeezed, olive oil is supposed to come out. When a Christian gets squeezed, the word's supposed to come out. The anointed one, Christ, really, right? So when pressure comes, it's like, by his stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 2:24 is my favorite scripture. By his stripes I'm healed. Because like I said before, I'd be dead if it wasn't for the word. I really do believe it. I'd be dead if it wasn't for the word. So we have to be so careful. And sometimes we have to make sure that we're like the two and not the 10 spies that came. Don't have an evil, or it just means a bad report or an unbelieving report. Have a believing report. Because you're going to walk around. You're going to have those that are around you. For 20 years they went. And God said to Moses, everybody other than those two that are 20 and older are going to be gone before you go to the promised land. That's it. Because you know what they said? It'd be better off if we died in the wilderness. So God says, you're going to get what you say. Good or bad, you're going to get what you say. So they died in the wilderness. Like I said, there's the promised land out there. So you start to wonder if there's only a few people left, if some of these kids were like, push them off the edge. Let's go. The promised land's there. Let's push them off the edge. Remember what Dad said? Remember what Grandpa said? No, they wouldn't have said that. But, it's like they had to wait. So those people around you with a bad report, just ignore them because they'll go away eventually. When somebody says to me, do you have celiac disease? I can show them a report. Says, my doctor says, I got nothing wrong with me. My bowels are clean. And trust me, they were clean. If you've ever had one, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, go have one. They'll clean you out. But I have a report that says there's nothing there. Because I believe the word, amen? And that's the thing. We got to believe the word. And if, oh, I'm healed. Well, continue, because someday you're going to need the word on something, amen? Someday you're going to realize that you need to believe for somebody else, Can I share something with you? Is that okay? I'll let you know in a second. A few years ago, as you all know, my wife had a stroke, right? Because we were doing the conference, and I remember Thursday night, or it'd be Friday morning, I guess it was. I heard her because she goes pee in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden I heard the dog jump and boom. And I was like, what? And she was having strokes. Prayed for her, took her to the hospital. Okay. She was at church Sunday night. Church Sunday night, 4 days later, nothing wrong. About 3 days later, we were at a family function. And, you know, there was, I was talking to somebody. And he was talking about, well, we know someone, something happened to so-and-so and they didn't get there in time. And so this, because if you don't get in time or whatever happens, you can be physically challenged because of it. And I said, don't tell her because her mind is still fresh, right? There's still a chance for the enemy to come back, right? And I said, don't tell her. So that's why you have to be careful of what you hang around, who you hang around, what you let in, when you're going through something. Right, I remember I came in. I left the hospital. I came to the church, and I was like, I remember I came in. I was actually looking for Pastor Ken because I needed a hug. Even though I'm a man of faith, strong. My wife. Last time I looked at my wife, she's doing one of these. I'm serious. I was able to talk to her afterwards, and I would ask her a question, and her mind was yes, and her body was. And it makes you cry. It makes you hurt. But you got to stand, right? So I remember I came and Pastor Ken was here and I just wanted a hug. And then he had Pastor on the phone. And we prayed. It's like, whew. I already prayed for her. That was more for me to lift me up, like Moses with Aaron and her, lifting me up, right? So that I didn't get confused about what I was going to say. That I didn't start building a false imprisonment or having a false right. Well, Lord, you know. It's the word is the word is the word. Amen. And but then you got to be careful. So then you're there and you have family that comes by. Not everybody in our family believes the same as us about healing. So it's like now I got to be very, those 2 days in the hospital, somebody says the wrong thing, you know, even friends, it's like, it's time for you to go. Herb, it's time. This is my wife. I don't care who you are. You're like, well, you know, not that people did, but you got to be careful. You even got to be careful, people that work there doing things. Well, you know, it's like, no. I'm the priest in this house. I get what I say. Her mind, her spirit was there, but at this point, I get what I say. You don't say that. You talk to me first. I'm going to be the filter because right now she can't be. Vice versa. There's times that it's the same way, amen, where she needs to be the filter. And people come by. Well, no, out the door. Fred Price was doing something with his wife. I can't remember. It was cancer or something like that. He took her to a hotel for 2 weeks, let nobody, family, nobody in their church. He's a head pastor of a big church. Nobody came near his wife except him for the word. Because you can start doing this. You can start doing this. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter. You've been saved 30 years. We can very easy. Or the word would not tell us to not walk by sight. If Paul said that, that means we all have a chance that we can do it. Very easily walk by sight. Amen? So we have to realize that we have to follow a good report. I'm not even got to my intro yet. Anyway, so Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for it by the elders attained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are not seen were made by things which are visible. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke and it happened. Amen? Are we not to be like God as New Testament believers? Is God not our Father? So when we speak, things happen. Amen? Frame your world with the word of God. What is your world? What is that around you? Frame your parenting with the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to teach my kids how to do this. I thank you, Lord, that if I'm not sure about something, I'm going to go to the word. What does the word say? You know, I had somebody tell me, I'm not a perfect dad, and I'm the first one to admit it. I've made mistakes. But I had somebody tell me one time, hey, you're a pretty good dad. I'm like, thanks. My kid says that. I'm a pretty good dad. I think one of the greatest compliments I hear is the other day he was doing something. He goes, Dad, I'm just like you. He was reading the book, underlining it. I'm like, that's kind of neat. But you know what's exciting is the fact that I didn't have a dad. I had no idea. When I, My boy was 2 when I got saved. I had no idea how to be a father. No idea. I didn't know, like none, you know. So I went to the Word. What does it say? Oh, teach him the way he shall go. When he falls, he will not fall far from it. Okay, I'm going to do devotions with him then, because that's what the Word says. The Word says to frame my world with him. So when I wasn't sure, I went to that. I got married. I don't know how to be a good husband, because the last time I got married, it didn't work. Oh, I'm divorced. She's my second wife. She's my only one, but she's my second wife. But the thing is, I didn't know. But now, it's to the point that I was like, okay, now I know. I want to know what to do. So you get into the Word. Where it says, husbands, dominate your wife. No, it doesn't say that. No, it doesn't. It says, wives, submit. And it's not for me to go, look at honey, it says that you're supposed to submit to me. That's not my scripture to use on her. That is not my scripture. That's her scripture. Not for me to bring it up to her. My scripture is love your wife. That's, I'd rather submit. Because when you love properly, it's easy to submit. Because then later on it says to submit one to another. I got to submit and love. She only has to do one. But you know, so you got to frame your world, amen? You got to get to the point that when we decide we're going to make a decision, we frame our world. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with our finances, our savings, buy a rental property? We frame our world. Everything we did started with a thought, and then it came to us speaking out. I think we should buy a house. Okay. It started with us speaking about it. Then it came to pass, even in the natural speaking. I think we should get the Chevy. Okay. It started with a voice. It's not very spiritual, but it's real. But by his stripes I'm healed, it's just as real. Right? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men pour into your bosom. It's just as real. So we got to learn how to frame our world with the Word. So you got to be able to get into the Word if you want to know what the world, how to frame your world. Amen? So I'm just going to skip something here. So we have to realize that one of the things is we have to know who we are in him. That's the first thing. So 1 Peter 2, 5-9 says, you also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Not everything you give to him is acceptable to him. Lord, take my smoking. He doesn't want it. You have to give it up. You have to put it down. Amen? But there's some things that you got to realize that we are a royal priesthood. We get to walk in to the throne room of God. It says in Hebrews to come boldly to the throne of grace. I remember when I first get born again thinking, oh, if God hears my prayers, if I pray 15 hours, he's going to do that. No. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So you got to realize who you are in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. But you sinned. It's not based on what I've done. It's based on what he's done. Amen? We all know that. If you've been at this church for a long time, we should know that. But we still have to renew our mind, because that challenges every day almost. That challenges me, because we're not perfect. If you want to know if I'm perfect or not, ask her. She'll tell you no. So we have to realize who we are in him. We have to realize that, know what we have. All his promises are yes and amen. I think, was it Pastor Steve mentioned that Sunday? All his promises are yes and amen. If you can show me where God says no, let me know. Delay is not denial. I didn't say that. I heard that somewhere. Delay is not denial. It might not come when you want it to come, but it doesn't mean it's a no. All his promises are yes and amen. I don't know if God wants to heal me. Find out what his word says. Know who you are in him. Because you're the righteousness of God in him, you are the healed in him. Amen? You are the saved in him. You are the delivered in him. All his promises are yes and amen. If you're not getting something you're believing for, then what we talked about last week, pray in tongues. Find out what is blocking. If there's something stopping me from receiving from God, it's on my part, not his part. It could be the fact that I'm grumbly with her and not treating her nice. And the Lord might just say, forgive her. Oh, okay. That could be, because there's something hindering me from receiving from God. It's me. So I need to pray to find out what I'm doing that's hindering God moving in my life. Because his promises are yes and amen. If his promises are not yes and amen, then they better take that scripture out of there. All his promises are yes and amen in him, according to the word. Like, if I'm going to sit there and say, Lord, I want another wife. He doesn't say yes and amen. He goes to the word where it says, you're allowed to have one. Look at the problem David had with all those other ones he had. No. But you only, like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to ask according to his word. Because when his word is there, like healing and all these things, deliverance, freedom, finances, everything you need is here. But if it doesn't come, find out, get back into prayer, maybe do some prayer and fasting, find out what the hindrance is, because the hindrance is going to be on our side, amen? If I'm not receiving something, it's because I'm missing it somewhere. It could be something very, very simple. Could be very, very simple. And usually it is, because the word is very simple, amen? So know who you are in him, know what you have, and also know the mysteries of his will, because I've heard people say, oh, God moves in mysterious ways. God moves in mysterious ways. Well, the word says, 1 Corinthians 7:10, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't understand the crucifixion and the resurrection and the cross. But it is written, I have not seen, nor you heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God revealed to us, revealed it to them, revealed it to us by his Spirit. So we can know the word of God. We can know the mysteries of God. If you think God is moving in mysterious ways, not to be blunt, but they get saved. Because as children of God, he says to them, he goes, I don't call you servants. He goes, I call you sons, because I can tell you the will of the Father. That's what he says, right? So we miss it. And like I said, I've been saved 30 years. And I'm still getting to the point of, okay, Lord, where am I missing it? Well, it says, search. If I want mystery, search the deep things of God. Get into his prayer. Get into praying in tongues. And then just believe, like for an interpretation over your own life. And you'll see that, okay, maybe I'm missing it because I'm not treating her nice, or I'm doing something, or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, amen? Because we are also supposed to be people that let our yes be yes and our no be no. Well, I'm going to support this, then all of a sudden you don't, then maybe that's where you're missing it. You know, I know that Norval Hayes was at, I believe, Henry Hinn's church preaching. I think it was in Vancouver. And he was there, and all of a sudden he's got a word. He goes, there's women here that you're believing for a baby and you can't have one. He goes, I want you to come to the front. And he quoted a psalm, something about women singing praise to God and they'll be fruitful. So then some of them started praising God. And one lady's looking at him. And she's like, I'm not praying for you. He goes, there's the word, just believe it. So like four or five of these women started just praising God. A year later, they all had babies. But they were all declared, barren, thank you. And it was like, but a year later, because he just gave them the word. Here's what it is. What are you missing it? Maybe just not praising God. One of the words for praise is to praise in expectation, which is almost like a faith thing. We praise him for something he's going to be doing. His credit is good for me. He's going to, you know, like, oh, his credit is good for me. His word says it. I might not have it, but a delay is not a denial. A delay just means I might be missing it somewhere. We're waiting for the opportune time. I was going to miss a couple of things because, you know, I talk a lot. So we also know who he is, that he is our Father. I was going to go through these quickly, so I don't have to bring them up. Romans 8, 14 to 16 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're a son or a daughter of God, you will be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. So know who he is. He's your Father. He's your Redeemer, it says in Romans 7. And he is also the reconciler. We are reconciled because of what Jesus has done. Amen. So we are now to be ministers of reconciliation. So in Hebrews 11, 20, I was going to close with this. Hebrews 11, 27 to 30. Hebrews 11, 27 to 30. So by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed by the firstborn should touch them. By faith, he passed through the Red Sea, as in dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to drown. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down as they were encompassed about 7 days. Go back to 27 for a second. I love this. By faith he forsook. This is Moses, Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. What do you see? What do you see? By faith, you can endure seeing him who is your healer. Amen. Seeing him who is your provider. Amen. Seeing him who is your father. Seeing him who is your husband. Seeing him who is whatever you need him to be. One of the greatest scriptures I like is when he said to Peter, he goes, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that he is? Who is he to you? Seeing who he is. Amen? Seeing who he is. So what do you need? And then I love it because when Pastor says sometimes we're stuck between two different things. And I love it because Moses was stuck between a rock and a hard place and the Red Sea was before them. And you know, he got a little bit frustrated. The children of Israel complaining. They did a lot of that. Do a lot of stuff there. He turns to God and God said, what did I tell you? Go forward. There's water. The Red Sea. Doesn't matter what's in front of you. Go forward. As soon as he started going, he says he's putting his rod out. The water parted. And he went. Sometimes we get to the point. I know me. Sometimes it's like God's got something for me. And I'm like, and God's like, well, I told you to go forward. We had that. I told you to go to Thunder Bay. But there's no jobs there. Go to Thunder Bay. But I don't have this there. Go to Thunder Bay. All I saw, to be honest, all I saw was Faith City Church. It's the only thing we had. That was our promised land. That was our grapes. That was a revelation to me just now. That was my grapes. It's coming here before we moved and saying to Kathy, I could call that place home. Because that was where we got our fruit to sustain us. Woo! Hallelujah! Seeing that which is invisible. Seeing it in the Word. So it'll be manifest in your life. Amen? What are you waiting for? Step out! Step out. Amen? Step out. Pastor.